Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Dan Eberhardt is here, too. Dan's a new friend. He's the CEO of Canary LLC, a company that he grew into one of the largest privately held oil services company in the United States. He's been a consultant to companies around the world for a long time now. He's named the Heart Energy's influential list, 30 under 40. That means he's accomplished a lot in a short span of time. You might have seen him on any of the television networks. He's done a lot of stuff on that. His byline is pretty widely read and published, and he's here to talk to us about the whole energy scenario, including some of the news. Dan Eberhardt, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm a fan of your show. So it's
thank you. I appreciate that very much. So, okay, let's get right to the news. The Iranian deal that Obama initiated, which I consider that to be un-American. That was the most horrible, blatant example. I mean, it was just awful. I can't even imagine on so many levels why we would do anything to help Iran do anything. And of course, we know that Mr. Trump has a different opinion about that. And now he's doubling down on his restrictions of Iran. And tell the audience, before you tell us how it's going to turn out, be a little more specific and elegant than I just was about what all that what he's doing right now with the Iran.
Well, I don't know if I can be more elegant, but I can try it. So a year ago, the U.S. announced sanctions on Iranian oil, which the point is to cut them off of their cash flow. They get about $50 billion a year in proceeds from oil, give or take. But the U.S., in order to make it easier for a lot of our friends in these foreign countries, such as India, China, whatever, we issued a bunch of waivers, so blunting the impact of it and hurting Iran less. Well, yesterday, Trump announced, the White House announced, that they're going to get rid of the waivers, which go through May 2nd. So that's going to push, theoretically, Iranian exports down to zero. And all the countries have said they're going to comply, with the exception of China so far.
Wow. And of course, oil is fungible. So if they can't get it from Iran, they'll go somewhere else and get it, right?
Yeah, I think it's potentially good news for U.S. exports. So the Iranian oil is about 1.1 million barrels a month, or 1.1 million barrels a day, and the worldwide demand is roughly 100. So we're talking about
1.5%
of the world demand.
Yeah, but it's 100% of their demand. It's 100% of their production. That's the impact, isn't it?
Yeah. So it would be 100% of their exports. So you got to figure that maybe a third of their production is for domestic use. You know, they've got 70 million people that need oil. But yeah.
Right. So what do you think the implications of that would be? Not even long term. Let's say midterm. Let's say over the next 12 months. What would be the implications of a successful execution of this plan by Trump?
Well, everything else being equal, it's going to push your gas prices at the pump up a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think you've got to look at this is one pebble in a handful of pebbles. You've got falling production in Libya and maybe a civil war about to break out there. You've got plummeting production in Venezuela, and then you've got rising production in the U.S., including pipelines about to come online in the Permian to relieve a bottleneck. So I think it will wash out. I think it will wash out, you know, one of those three negative factors, the increased production of the Permian. But I think that there's likely to be more upward pressure on oil prices in the second half of the year.
What do you think Iran's reaction response will be to this?
To go to Europe and beg for them to do something?
Or to get China to take more of their stuff and push it back out to India, that kind of thing?
Yeah, if China could take all this oil theoretically. There's there's two refineries coming online in China this year that each need 400,000 barrels a day of oil. And those are those are magnificently humongous numbers.
So is do you think China, do you think the Iranian deal, this part of the deal with China resisting, could that become part of the trade negotiations, you think?
Oh, it could. I think the trade negotiations are incredibly complex. I was in China last week, and there's just, you know, we need China's help on North Korea, but we've pushed them on trade. I think that they've got a stiff upper lip right now. I think China's a big part of our supply chain, and I go there four or five times a year. I think that the trade situation is negatively impacting China a lot more than they're letting on.
Right. I think you're right about that. And they've already got their own internal issues that are compounding all that, isn't it?
Yeah, so they need something like 4 or 5 million new jobs a year to just keep the unemployment rate the same.
Right, right.
Given their population and the people graduating from high school.
And when you throw in their demographic challenges and their inefficient monetary system, and I don't mean monetary, but their banking, inefficient banking and system, their markets, their financial markets and all that, they've got a lot of challenges over there. And I've said for a long time that China is more of an enemy to itself than it is to us. What do you think, long term?
Yeah, no, I think, yeah, I think in a lot of ways they've been very successful at being able to create all this economic growth the last 20, 25 years. But I think that they don't know how to switch from a manufacturing-based economy and that powering the growth to a consumption-based economy. They're just not set up for it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're having a harder and harder time getting the people to do what they want in terms of buying things, borrowing to buy a house, saving money, whatever.
Right.
People are getting more and more independent. Social media is changing it, and they're just not a free society like we are.
Mm-hmm. So, there's obviously no question about that. And so, what do you think, is Russia going to go along with the Iranian sanctions? Have they agreed?
I don't think Russia is not agreed, but Russia is an exporter, not an importer.
Right.
So
they're not really buying from Iran.
That matters.
Yeah.
No. The big question, and what's curious to me, is the Saudi production has been falling for 3 or 4 months, which goes against the whole idea that Trump implying that Saudi Arabia is going to increase production.
Hold on to that thought, Dan. I want to come back when we come back after the break. I want to hit that one because you've had something to say about Mr. Trump's position, the pressure he's been putting on OPEC. Folks, this is fascinating. I'm going to get Dan to tell us about that. I'm going to also ask him to come back to the pipeline issue. Is that going to work? And I'm also going to ask him a little bit about the sustainability energy movement. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.